Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, yo. What up?
What up? What up?
What's up?
What's going on, Red?
I'm good. What's going on, Brother B?
Not much. Just chilling. What up, everybody? Hope all is well with you and yours. This is Brother B with the host, with the most, Big Red.
Yeah.
And welcome to another episode of The Menu on Blog Talk Radio. The Menu on Blog Talk Radio. What up, y'all? What's going on? What's up, Red? How you doing?
I'm good. Just chilling on a Sunday night. You know, get it started.
True.
The weather's cool. Oh, I like that.
I got you.
Except for the rain, I don't even know. Rain, but you know, it's pretty good so far.
Yeah, this rain is annoying. It's getting tired of it.
Yeah, yes,
really.
Yeah, I feel like it needs to stop raining. I mean, I don't want snow, but it just needs to stop raining. Just stay cool here in November now. Like, let's get some frost going on here now.
Yeah, just no ice.
Yeah,
don't
no
like
ice.
The ice.
No ice and no snow. But
yeah.
Eventually you're gonna get that.
Well, I'm hoping not, but it's gonna be what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely gonna be what it is. Right. But you know. Once again, it's Big Red and Brother B. The Menu on Blog Talk Radio. What up, y'all? Guest call numbers 347-324-3395. That's 347-324-3395. My apologies, you know, a little tired right now, so I sound a little sluggish. Sorry about that. It is what it is. But before we go into the topic, I just want to kind of say something. I don't like people who skip the line. Like, I don't like the fact that you wait online, whether it's on a car or you stand in line somewhere, and you're waiting. You're being patient, and you're waiting. And then all of a sudden, someone just comes over and wants to skip the line. Like, yo, your impatience has nothing to do with shit. Like, you can't expect me to be courteous to your impatience.
Right.
I was patient. You know what I'm saying? I was patient. And you wasn't. So some people get mad when you don't let them in and stuff like that. Let you in for what? I was on this line for like 40 minutes. I was on this line for like 40 minutes. You think I should just let you come along and just make it 41? Nah. Uh-uh.
Because people are impatient. Like I said, the chivalry is dead. You know, people are impatient. Everybody wants everything right now. Like, I had experience with that a little earlier, I think, the other day. And I was in a supermarket paying for stuff. And my transaction wasn't even finished. The young lady didn't give me my change or anything. And the lady's already, like, she's giving the young lady her, you know, the little discount cards for the store or whatever. You already getting the lady was like, okay, I'm not, you know, the cashier was like, I'm not done with her yet. And I'm looking at the lady too, like, miss, like, she's not even done with my transaction, and you already giving her your card, and you trying, you know, it's like, where are you going? Like, if you in a rush to go somewhere, you could have said, well, miss, you know, and she only had like two things. Okay, miss, you know, I have two things. Can I just get this money? No problem.
Oh.
But you. which because you're in a hurry or you in a rush, like I said, she's seen what the young lady was doing. She thinks she was, you know, just almost on the register trying to give me my change. No, she just thought this kind of call, like, okay, I gotta go. No, like, so I understand what you're talking about. People just, everybody wants everything fast. I want to get out of here. No, I get that. So you know what? Shop online.
It's true.
You wanted that quick, shop online.
Yeah, you ain't got to watch your back either. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're going to be paying for it in the comfort of your own home or someplace. You ain't out in the streets.
Exactly. And I, believe me, I gave that lady a very nasty, you know, I just stood there and looked at her. And I'm like, yo, this lady, like, she. I'm like, yo. And she wasn't that much older than me, so I'm just like, listen, I don't want to hear that, oh, I'm old. No, miss, you know what you're doing. You see what you're doing. Just wait. Here you go. Believe me. Run to go play bingo, or you could be about to miss your Atlantic City bus. You about to miss your bus to the Mohican Sun? Like, get out of here. What are you doing?
That's crazy. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. I don't know. Like I said, man, you know, people want you to be courteous, but they want to be discourteous. And you can't expect me to always be the bigger man or somebody else to be the bigger person, because sometimes it just doesn't work
like
out like
that. All the time. Yeah, exactly. Can't be like that all the time. It's like, you have to adapt to, you know, use the same, you know, you got to take consideration sometimes. But that's the problem. Nobody is considerate to any, but like, I realized that in the last couple of years that people were just not, like, you may have consideration, but they don't. Like, they don't, like, if you tell them something, like, say, if we're going out somewhere and I have to take consideration, like, okay, if that person has kids or they have young kids, well, you know, like, you're going to get somebody to watch kids or whatever, whatever. They see it as an insult. It's like, okay, I'm being considerate. I don't have to ask you that. I can just be like, oh, let's go out. Or let's go do this. Or meet me at this time. No, I'm asking you that because it's like, all right, I'm going to give you time for somebody to watch your children or whatever you have to do. But people see that as an insult now. So I don't know.
Yeah, this is true. Like, you try to be nice and people, I don't know, man. It's kind of weird. It's really weird.
Yeah, it is. I don't get it.
Well, I think a lot of people are just like spoiled to a certain way of doing things. So, like I said, I don't know. It is what it is. So, ready for the topic? Ready for the topic?
Yes, sir.
Sure. I'm not ready. I'm trying to take this drive.
You not ready?
Crazy. Yeah, I'm not ready, but I'm trying to get ready. No, I'm not ready, but I'm trying to get ready. So.
Right.
Yeah, I'm getting my mind right. So, all right. Let's do this. Once again, everybody, hello, 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 hello. Big Red Brother B with the menu on Blog Talk Radio, guest calling number 347-324-3395. 347-324-3395. What up to everybody? All the supporters and the well wishers. And to the haters, we welcome you too. Love you, smooches. And tonight's topic, dear white folks, let's be clear. Okay. So someone had asked me, like, what was your whole thing with that title? What topic? So, I had to, you know, let them know. Hold on, I got to take a sip of my salt, so I'm sorry.
Okay, well.
I was feeling a little parched. I'm like, I don't want to be parched. So, somebody's asking, what's up with that title? Or what's up with that topic? I said, listen. As much as some people don't want to have that talk, we got to have that talk. it seems like the media and certain other individuals, powers that be, if you want to call them that, whatever, like to keep this stereotypical bullshit going. And the stereotypical bullshit is of, you know, just black people being no good, always in trouble or about to get in trouble, and the list goes on. Listen, stop it. You can say what you want, but the truth is, and I hate to break this to you, you know, but black folk really don't give a damn about you or what you're doing. They're too busy trying to survive their own situations to be concerned with what some of you white people are doing.
Right.
But as a black person, I don't really care about you putting, well, no, I do care about you putting raisins in the macaroni, the potato salad. I do care about that. That's ridiculous. That's just goddamn disturbing.
God.
And y'all, some of y'all need to be smacked.
Oh,
like, raisins do not go in everything.
You know, not to cut you off for a minute. I think, you know what? You know, it's sad. I'm gonna say this. Like, to me, it seems like. Well, not it seems like. No, I'm not gonna say seems. It is. White people put that on themselves. You know why I say that? And I'm gonna say that. And I'm not gonna say all of them, but the majority. I would say the majority of white people, in terms
or at least the ones, that you know, that we see in the media, you know, that you know. You will never replace us.
You will never replace us. And the teacher torches and make America great again. They put that on themselves because you know what? If y'all didn't, okay, you let Orange put that battery in your back. So now with him putting the battery in your back, now it's like, oh, we can say whatever we want. We could come out and do whatever we want. So it's like, okay, we always been putting raisins. I'm just giving an example. We've always been putting raisins in our potato salad and our macaroni and cheese and whatever the hell else they want to put raisins in, and cranberries and all kinds of mess. So you know what? We just want to put it out there now. So now when you see these little, you know, people watching little talk shows, now them same ones is on the talk show. Just, oh, I put a little raisins. Oh, you know, just put some spinach in the macaroni and cheese. So they do that. So it's like, okay. Now you're exposing yourself. Now, at the end of the day, you know a lot of people, not only your people are watching this show, you have America watching this. So within America, this is a melting pot, you know, so they say. So you're going to have everybody watching this. And at the same time, you got our people, you got maybe somebody else, you got maybe have, the, you know, Chinese or Asian, whoever. You may have other people saying, they put raisins in they put raisins in a potato salad. But guess what? You expose yourself. So now when people come at you with those things, or people, you go to your potluck, you have your potluck that you've been doing for years, and you put that on the table. Now everybody's backing away like, I'm not eating that. Put raisins in a potato salad. Like, so that, with that being said, I'm just making a joke out, but you know, it's sad because it's like, you guys expose yourself to this with that white privilege thing and all that. You did that to yourself because you let homeboy, Orange homeboy, batter in your back. So you did that to yourself.
Well, I think,
and now you
want to
be mad.
Go ahead, finish.
No, I'm just saying, now you want to be mad when people are coming at you a certain way, just like you said, the ones that we see on these little, you know, videos when they coming out and, oh, help, and, oh, he's doing this to me, and making bogus phone calls. Oh, well, she touched my butt, or he did it. No, you're doing this to yourself.
Now, I'm glad you said that about the chick up in Harlem, because see, this is one thing I want to throw at. So you don't, because you know, there's Caucasians, and then there's just the white folk. To me, the white folk are the ones that want to stir the pot. The white folk, to me, the ones who just want to, you know, they want to keep the beef going and mm-hmm. stereotypical stuff, you know, just flowing on.
You were here for it. No, you wasn't. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, like, listen, you know, everybody knows by now, Christopher Columbus was a thief, murderer, and, you know, overall looter.
But they mad that that came out, though. That's the problem. Mm-hmm, exactly.
Oh, well, and, you know, that's the problem. Who cares? You know, certain things you just can't keep a lid on. Now, when Obama
right.
got into office, I they swore that they was about to be put in chains.
Mm-hmm.
Because they thought, like, oh, my God, it's a black man's office. He's going to get us.
Yep.
No. It doesn't make sense. But, you know, some of that's where, like, a lot of it starts from. Because, you know, he came, and then next thing you know, they started getting nervous. They started getting scared. And
mm-hmm.
now this dude, you know, Agent Orange is out here, and he's giving everybody the call. You know, they're out here
mm-hmm.
doing, you know, wicked stuff. And even...
Yep.
doing stuff to the children. I'm like, listen, check this out. Be who you are, but stop your fuckery. Because now, you go to Harlem, or you go to certain places, you know, where gentrification is going on, you think those white people are afraid? Those white people ain't afraid. Those white people moving into Brooklyn, or certain parts of Brooklyn, or certain parts of Manhattan, you know, certain parts of Harlem, whatever. Those white people ain't scared.
Right.
And the white people ain't being, and the white people are not being, exactly. And the white people are not being chased out of Harlem or Brooklyn. They're actually just and being embraced. Nobody's bothering. So if there's such an issue with race and all this stuff going on, I mean, how is gentrification happening?
Right,
you literally
exactly.
have people moving into our neighborhoods, our communities, but yet we're not saying, oh, you know, crime will go home, or this is
mm-hmm.
all these black people land, or stuff like that. We're not saying that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I said some of you white folks, we don't give a damn what you're doing. We really don't. But apparently you do. So...
Because they know they're invading our territory. They know it. They know it.
Like I said, nobody has a problem with you. Like, you have a problem with you. Obviously have a problem with yourself. And you're trying to, like, superimpose that problem on someone else, which is us. But I'm telling you, right now, black people don't care. Black people are too busy trying to do what they got to do. They ain't worried about you. They ain't thinking about you.
Nope.
So sorry if that makes you mad that you're not being schemed and plotted on and all this and that. No one cares. No one cares.
Right. That's, you know what? That's part of the problem. That's the thing. It's like they're not reacting the way they want us to react. They're not giving them that reaction. That's what they want. Oh, they're going to take our men and our children and our this and this, that and this. They want that reaction, and because we're not giving it to them, it's like, okay, now I'm going to do things to make them react to us. And it's like, what? Once again, it's like you said, why? Why do you want to mess with that raccoon that's sitting there going through the garbage line in his den, and he's going to go back to his den later on?
Yep.
He's just looking for food. No. You want to start poking at him and calling places, oh, well, there's a raccoon. And like, okay, leave him alone. Okay, we can't somebody pick him. No, nobody's going to pick him up. Leave him the hell alone. As long as he ain't attacking nobody, he's good. As long as he's not attacking nobody, he's good. Leave him alone. Well, I might want to take him home. Okay, see? The same mentality. Oh, let me take him home and give him a foot. Give him food and feed him and set him up. And let me see if I can make him do tricks.
I want to love him and hug him and call,
and
him, call him George. I want to love him and hug him and call him George.
Then when that sucker be up in your cabinet, then you ready to throw him out.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, when he be in your cabinet, then you ready to throw him out. But yeah, it's like, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, leave people alone. And then, like I said, we're having the vote next week. It's like, why are y'all trying to make things difficult for people? Every time, for what? You did it with Obama. You did it, just like you said, all back, way back when the Bushes was in office. Y'all do it all the time. It's like y'all just trying to make things difficult for what? Y'all got what y'all wanted for the last 300 years. Y'all got what y'all wanted, and y'all still not effing
satisfied. They've been getting what they wanted for the longest. Listen,
yes, that's what I'm saying.
The MO has long, you know, been, you know, we came, we saw, we conquered, and divide.
Mm-hmm.
Because people can say what they want, but no one that we know of has more of a bloody history than the Caucasian.
Absolutely.
Man
absolutely.
On this planet.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
With that being said, you would think you would probably be a little bit more modest, or, you know, a little bit more, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, you would tread a little lightly.
Right.
But I guess it's your insecurities and your paranoia that have you feeling that, oh, you will not replace us. Once again, nobody's trying to replace you, but you're putting yourself in a position to be replaced because people don't want to deal with the BS.
Right,
listen,
exactly.
A lot of people out there want to move through this life drama-free.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there who don't want to be bothered. There are people that are going to be bothered, and that's okay. It's not our cup of tea, but it's okay.
Right.
But one thing you can't continue to do is really think that you can push your agenda or force your agenda on people and that he's probably supposed to fall in line. Like, yo, it's 2018. This ain't the same, man. This ain't the colonial times. And, you know, I mean, people got rights now, man. People are fighting, you know, for themselves. And
yeah, but they
can
take away a lot of those rights too.
Well, listen, hey, when you got Agent Orange in the house saying, you know, stuff like, oh, it will get, you know, there will be violence if, you know, the Republicans lose control. How do you make a statement like that? How do you say something like that? Knowing that there's all types of people out here that just take things literally.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
People out here that will actually, you know, be like, oh, you know, yeah, he's rallying the troops. You got all these militias and all these other stuff. Listen, these people out here, a lot of people don't know about them, but they out here.
Yep.
So he's giving that call. There will be violence if GOP, if the Republicans lose the House. Why violence?
Why would you say something?
Because that's what they know. He represents that portion that believes in, you know, destroy first, ask questions later.
Right. And yeah, it's crazy. Like, I was just, you know, looking at a little article or something that the guy, Don Lemon, I don't usually watch it. I think he's on CNN Live. And he said, well, it was one of his videos or one, I guess, you know, whenever he was on that day. So I believe he was getting a little backlash of that, but he kind of explained why he
came.
Right, yeah, of course. You know, of course, you know that's what it is. So, you know, I'm just going to read a little bit of what it was, what he said. So he said,
read it.
He was on the deck. He says, Don Lemon said, people need to realize that white men radicalized to the right are the biggest terror threat to the country. And he said this on Monday night. I might have been last week. So he said that there was a travel ban put on the Muslims because of terror fears, but there's not a white guy ban for radicalized white males. So he said we have to stop demonizing people and realize this is a real threat. So he's saying that we have to stop demonizing people and realize the biggest terror threat in this country is white men. Most of them radicalized to the right, and we have to start doing something about them. There's no travel ban on them. And he said there is no travel ban on you know, they had the Muslim ban, and there's no white guy ban. So basically, I just read a little bit of it, what he said. Basically, he's saying that, you know, once again, we have these homegrown terrorists, and I say it all the time. We have homegrown terrorists. What are y'all doing about them? You got homegrown terrorists. You're busy worrying about the Mexicans. You're busy worrying about the Muslims. You're busy worrying about everybody else. What about these homegrown terrorists without get born into custody, period? Because guess what? They got to be alive to be brought into custody, right?
Yep.
But you shoot an unarmed black man that ain't even doing nothing, don't have nothing on him, man ain't blow up nothing, do nothing. Just had his taillight out.
Well, see, I mean, but see, all right. It's amazing how you have individuals who, and I'm just going to say it, to have the attitude of do as I say and not as I do. So basically, it's okay for a white man to kill an unarmed black person or minority. Or anyone for that matter, but we're only talking about minorities right now. So it's all right for them to do that, but if the shoe's on the other foot, that black person, you know, oh, he's the worst in the world. These black people are always doing this, or these Mexicans, they're murderers. This is that. Like, come on now. Once again,
right.
You got to look at it for what it is. The Timothy McVeighs. Look at the guy who just ran up in a Kroger and shot two elderly people.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he was trying, I think he was trying to run away or something, or he was confronted, like somebody, he told the person, oh, whites don't kill whites. Okay. So you got that. Then you got the little boy, Dylan McRoof or McBrother, whatever, McNugget, who went into a black church. Yeah, and mind you, this same guy who just killed these two old people, these two elderly black people, he tried to go up in a church. He tried to go up in a black church, but they wouldn't let him in. My thing is, wait a minute. How does that happen? How do you just, all of a sudden, you try to get into a church, that didn't happen. So you go into a Kroger or some type of, you know, store or whatever, and then you go kill two elderly people in front of their grandson.
Right.
And you want to say it's not a problem of yours? You don't even want to acknowledge the fact that there is some type of issue? The Vegas shooter, white man. You're trying to tell me that this is okay? This is acceptable. But see, it's the Neanderthal mentality.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay for them to do it because this is what they do.
Right.
It's not all Caucasian. It's just those certain white folks.
Oh.
Who feel that they're on the top of the food chain, they're untouchable, nobody should, you know, have to deal with, you know, anything. Listen, time to call a spade a spade. Like, really? Like, it just needs to stop. Because, like I said, you don't see white people in Harlem talking about, oh, they're crazy, they're out of control, You don't see people in the gentrified areas of Brooklyn, you know, with white people. Listen, they out jogging 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, walking their dogs. So there ain't no black people bothering them. Listen.
Unbelievable.
D.L. Hughley, I believe, said it best. And I can't quote it word for word, but his whole thing was like the threat to white men. It's something like it's in their mind. like you thinking that we're trying to do something is all in your mind. Because like I said, most black people, 9 times out of 10, ain't giving a shit. They too busy trying to get their stuff together. They ain't worried about you. They ain't worried about you, white folks. Like I said, there's Caucasian people living in black communities and black areas, and they doing just fine. Doing just fine.
I don't get it. I'm just sick of all of it. Because like I said, we gotta get this dude out.
Everybody needs to get out and vote. But see, once again, there will be violence if the Republicans lose the House. So, all right, so you got people that are going to take that and be like, oh, I don't want to be responsible for, someone being seriously injured or killed just because this guy, basically just went out on a limb. He just said there will be violence if we lose this.
Yeah, but there was violence back in the days in the 50s and 60s, and it was violence then, but people still went and voted.
Exactly. That's why this right here shouldn't be scaring anybody. These little dumbass pipe on, because, real talk, I think that white dude was supposedly homeless or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
How did he get the material? And how did he get from location to location?
Probably had somebody help. He had somebody helping him. He had to have somebody help
him. Of course. Of course he did.
He had to have somebody. If he was homeless or not, he had to have somebody help him.
Exactly. We had to. But, we ain't even going to, get into that. We ain't going to spend nothing else off. But we're just going to go back to, dear white folk. Let's be clear. Black folk don't care what you're doing. You create racism. You create this whole... I really don't believe in the whole white privilege thing. But, okay, for lack of a better term.
I think that was something made up, though.
What, white privilege?
I think it's made up.
Of course it is, because my whole thing is you have whites out there that feel they're superior, period. So it's not so much the thing of them actually, being it. It's just that somebody just made it up, and, listen, they've been in a position where they have been dominating. So to keep that up and keep that straight, certain lies and fibs, have to be put out there.
I'm sick of it.
Because, like I said, I was watching something and they wanted to talk about Mike Brown. You can't say shit about Mike Brown. As much as people, listen, you killed, nobody wants to talk about how Mike Brown was getting ready to go to college. They just want to talk about he was this super thug and this, that, and the third. Listen, shut your dumb ass up. To all you little white, I have to say it, to some of you white folk and you other jackasses, whatever color you are, who's really seem to think that Mike Brown was like this super criminal, stop it. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself so you can make yourself feel uncomfortable so you can have a reason to go out there and do dangerous things. Let me say this again. Yes, I'm sorry if I do sound a little distracted and I do sound a little off. Like I said, it's been a rough week. I lost a woman who was a stepmother to me, this week. So I haven't really been kind of mentally connecting with it because I don't want to face it. So, you know, and I work a lot. I've just been really tired, but, like, you know, my mind is just, I haven't really been focused. So, yeah, man, it's just been, you know, like one of those weeks, man, where I'm just not there, man. And you know, this cancer thing really, really sucks. You know, she has stage 4, you know, declined rapidly. And like I said, part of my mind is not really accepting it. So I haven't really been, you know, there, you know, just, like I said, my thoughts have been all over the place, man. But, you know, I pray that she's in a better pace now. She's not suffering. And, you know, it's just something that I'll just have to mentally deal with later. But thank you, JoJo. But back to the topic. You know, people want to make reasons and make excuses so they can go out there and be violent. Oh, the black people are this, so we have to do that. The Obama's coming, we have to get our guns. Oh, this is happening, we got to go get grenades. This is happening,
yo,
so we got to go get grenades.
Like
somebody's bringing macaroni salad, we got to get pineapples. You know what I'm saying? Like, stop it. Like, stop trying to make up shit. Because once again, I have to keep going back to it. You have white people living amongst black people in the black communities, and there's no issues. Now, if you want to take it to that white woman who blatantly lied, talking about some little boy touched the ass, first of all, you ain't have no ass. You just had a long back.
Oh, my God. She ain't had nothing. Like, Miss Experience, she probably wants to get
nobody,
a mess or something like that.
But see... She just, once again, now she perpetuates a stereotype that no one really wants to get into. And it's these white folks who just feel that it's okay to come out and lie and say what they need to say so they can, you know, support the bigoted narrative. Yeah, well, the attention, but at the same time, it's the bigoted narrative that they want to keep in play. K-Dog, what's up, brother?
What's up, y'all?
Hey,
how y'all doing?
How you doing?
Hey, man. Hey, first up, Brother B, I got to say condolences. Sorry about your loss.
Thank
it's
you,
a hard pill to swallow, brother. It's a hard pill to swallow. But
yeah,
however,
man.
But you know, today, let me just start off by saying that today, on November 4th, could you believe it? It's been, wow, I can't believe it, 10 years ago. November the 4th, one of the biggest moments in history happened here in the United States. And it was the election of our 44th president, President Barack Obama, that Barack Obama won the election on this date. I remember how the country felt at that time. You know, some people had doubted that he ain't going to win. There's no way he's going to win. He ain't going to win. And there you have it. He won the election that night. And history was made. Now, throughout that time, you know, was the country ready for a man of color to run the, was ready for a man of color to run America? And now, you look at the state of America now and you have to shake your head like, damn, what the hell is going on now? But you know what? What's going on now is nothing new. Racism and prejudice is not going anywhere. It's not. I got news for all those. It's not going anywhere. Because you know what? Why I bring up President Obama? Because we saw this man who was running the country, who was in the White House, being the most disrespected president in history. This man faced more disrespect than any other president. Am I lying or not?
Oh, no, you're not lying. You're not lying. All the death threats, you know, all, oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Oh, his monkey. His wife looked like this. He looked like that. He's talking about his kids. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait, you had some black people that was on that train, too.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
you had some black people.
Oh, yeah, the Uncle Tom, the, not the Uncle Tom, the Sambos.
Yeah.
I had to cut you off. I'm sorry, KJ, but I had a friend of mine that I went to high school with, and she was at train too, talking about, just like you said, all the white people like a monkey, and Obama's this and that. She was going off, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, because you know why? People were mad. And he made them mad because you know why? They wanted him to have this image of the angry black man, and you know what? Obama showed that, hey, I could still make you look dumb by my action. I don't have to yell. I don't have to get angry. I'm just showing you how I do it with intelligence. I'm just going to make you mad with my mind. You could say whatever you want to say about me. I'm still going to do what I got to do. And now, fast forward 10 years later, look at the state of America now. Look at the racism that is going on. You know what? It's like, you know, you look at history.
But K-Dog,
the history
real
of
quick,
America.
Look who's in the driver's seat. Look who's in the driver's seat. I had to add that to what you were saying. Look who's in the driver's seat.
Donald Trump. And you know what Donald Trump did is that he fired them up. How he fired them up? Look at what he campaigned.
What?
Oh,
yeah.
And people wrote on it. You know what they did? The day after he won the election, you have a new group that call themselves, they still have the same ideas, but guess what they call themselves now? The alt-right.
All right, listen,
no,
wait, real quick. What is that, a computer, a keyboard thing? Alt, Jeff, delete, something like that? Oh, listen, stop making up, stop making up all this shit. Stop making, like, people,
they
stop,
call themselves,
stop making up all
calling,
this crazy shit, man. Left wing, right wing, right tail.
No, they're right wing. Because you know what they call themselves? You know, with Richard Spencer and Don McGinnis of the Proud Boys, you have all of a sudden, they said in 2017, as I read in a very reliable source, you could Google it up, in 2017, there has been 954 hate groups throughout the United States of America. And their membership is growing by the minute. Because what did Donald Trump run on? Who did he attract when he said the first set of people he attacked were the Mexicans? When he said he doesn't want them coming here. They're gonna bring their drugs, they're gonna rape your children, they're gonna be gangbangers.
The original, and this is somebody from the original rapist, the original, like, come on. Like, all right, I'm not going to bite my tongue about it. I'm really not. If you want to look how this country was founded and who it was founded by, come on now. You have no right calling someone rapist, someone drug dealers, someone, I mean, come on. You're just throwbacks from, oh, we didn't want to be ruled by Britain, so we came over here to make our own, you know, make our own situation.
Because let's look at it, people. Let's look at the history of this country. Founded, this country was founded.
But you know what,
K-Dog?
K-Dog,
yes.
Before you go on, really, I want you, when you say this, I want you to really address it. Because no one wants to really address the history of how this country was founded. Nobody really ever wants to get into that conversation, I noticed. And it just gets skipped over.
Oh, well,
but if we look at how it was founded.
They don't want the truth to come out.
Okay.
What, you know what? They don't want it because this is what we were taught in school. We were taught that, hey, this country was a wilderness. When Christopher Columbus walked in here, and when Christopher Columbus in 1492 sailed the ocean blue on the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
Yeah, exactly.
He described, then he quote unquote, discovered America. But guess what? How the hell could you discover a place that was already inhabited? And Christopher Columbus did not even touch the mainland of America. It was the other European explorers like Ponce de Leon, Amerigo Vespucci.
See, it wasn't inhabited by civil, what they would call civilized people.
It was inhabited by savages, as they were.
Oh, yeah, they make it.
Everybody was a savage, but them.
And what did they walk in and do? The savagery began. The rapes, the illnesses, the murders.
But they call it, no, but you know what they call it? Oh, they fought them to be civilized. Oh, we came up, they came over here and they taught them how to bathe and cook and the animals for food and shelter. Are you kidding me? They was doing that way the hell before y'all got over here.
First
y'all didn't know how to do that.
They didn't know how to survive over here.
No, they taught them everything. The natives taught them everything about survival. But then, what did you do to the natives after you learned everything? It's like this. You live in a nice house, and someone walks in there and say, oh, you have a nice house. Can I stay here a couple of days? Oh, better yet, let me bring a couple of friends over. Let me bring a couple of friends over and make myself at home. And they bring all their friends over, and next thing you know, you're like, hey, wait a minute, what you trying to do? Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm buying your house from under you. This is mine now. It don't belong to you no more.
Yep.
That's exactly what the white supremacists did in this country, on this land. Believe it or not, if we are to dig underneath all the things that are on this land, you will see Indian ground.
Yeah, that's why you got all these ancient buildings. Yeah, all these ancient burial grounds that they don't want you to know about, but if you dig it hard enough, you're going to find it.
And guess
listen,
what?
Listen, the person who can, that's why they call it his story. The person who controls that, controls the books, controls the narrative. And they've been controlling it for years. From all the things that are hidden in the Vatican vault to all the things that have been rewritten and suppressed, they control they control that. They made sure that they pillaged and plundered every Mayan tomb, every Egyptian tomb, all the artifacts, to make sure we have to erase all of this stuff. We can't let this
because
stuff get out.
They try to make it work. And I'm not saying all white people. I'm not condemning all white people. But, however,
the white folks who seek to control
history and make up all these lies. Look at now. Let's fast forward to 2018. Look at what's going on. We just in 2010. When was it? 2016 that there was a church massacre with Dylan Roof walking into a black church in 2016?
I'm going to ask you a question, K-Dog.
Sure.
You big red too. And this is to anybody else who, once again, guest calling numbers 347-324-3395. Correct me if I'm wrong. But have you ever heard of a black person? Or has there been a situation of a Mexican person, Spanish person, walking up into a white church and just picking people off?
Nope. I've never heard of it.
And Brad,
but yet,
So that
kind of answers the question about what Don Lemon says, because it seems to be a constant thing with the kid who ran up, was in the watching Batman, and he decided to shoot up the movie theater. Once again, the Vegas shooter who decided to shoot up the, you know, just shoot into a
concert.
Come on now.
And you know what? With all of that, to me, and I'm going to keep it, it's in my mind. I keep saying to myself, you know, this stuff has to be planned. Like, somebody is planting a seed. And I'm not, somebody is either paying them or something, or some type of, it has to be something. But these things are happening, like you said. Once again, the homegrown terrorists are doing this.
But yet,
you know,
everyone's quick to say. Look what he said. He said, oh, don't let these Arabs come into your country because these Arabs are causing problems. They're terrorists.
I can't. Because like I said,
really?
You're saying that, but you're not even addressing the ones that are doing it right here. So guess what?
He's not going to, because listen, the whole thing is, this is a whole thing that's going on right now in America, and it's been going on, not even right now, but you look at, I call it the white privilege and also the white supremacy. See, this is someone who is in the White House, right? You're supposed to be a quote-unquote leader, right? Now, in Charlottesville, Virginia, last year, these white nationalists marched in Charlottesville, Virginia, the night before holding torches. The next day, they continued their protest, and yet they had those who were countering the who were counter-protesting against them. And what did they? And what did one of them do? Got inside of a car and ran through the crowd, killing a young protester.
A white woman.
And you know what? I'm going to get to that because there were many whites who were victimized. But, however, this man did not denounce those white nationalists. Instead, he stood there and said, oh, well, these people are nice people. I'm like, are you out of your damn mind? I'm like, wow. Yeah. So how the hell is it? What kind of a leader are you?
He's trying to be a dictator.
He's not trying to be a leader.
He's trying to be a dictator.
Well, yeah, exactly. But, you know, my problem is, all right, and I'm just gonna say it, to the young Caucasian woman that was killed.
Right.
The fact that the guy who did it, like the fact that there wasn't some type of emphasis made on the fact that she was killed in this incident, you know, like it wasn't condemned, really pissed me off because it goes to show you their agenda is more important than their own people. So if you want to talk about us being replaced or you concerned about your numbers, A, either you need to go out there and start making more babies, or B, you need to stop putting yourself in situations where you're killing off your own people. Because a lot of these things, you're not just hurting black people, but you're hurting white people too. I mean, we're Caucasian people too. The good old white folks
they've been
out
doing
there.
That for the
they
longest.
They don't care about that because
they don't care
if they're hurting them because you know what, y'all not on our side. See, they don't care about hurting the ones that's
no,
not
because
on
you know
side.
What, they're looking at you as a traitor. Because let's take a trip back to the civil rights movement. Even during the civil rights movement, there were many whites who were killed by the Klan. There were many whites who were targeted and murdered because they were looked upon as traitors.
Traitors, you're race traitors.
Yeah. You know what they called them back then? Excuse me for saying it. They said you were a nigger lover.
But that goes to show you, but you see how that goes over. So you're actually willing to destroy your own
because they don't
your
agree
purpose
with you.
Of what exactly for your purpose of what to keep the narrative to make it seem like black people are dangerous. Listen, if black people were so dangerous, we would have never been here. We would never been brought here if we were that dangerous.
If we were that dangerous. And actually,
we became dangerous when we decided to start doing our own thing. When we were given the opportunity to do our own thing. That's when we became dangerous. We became dangerous when we started to dominate certain things, certain areas of sports.
Oh, yes.
Because
NFL, you know, we're creative.
NBA, You know, we became dangerous when we started doing time music. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. We became dangerous when we started finding our own niche and saying, hey, you're doing this, but we're doing that. That's when we became dangerous. And my thing is, listen, it's not our problem. It's not our fault. You blame yourselves. Because if you really want to go there, you started the problem that you have now. You started that problem.
Exactly. They started. Exactly.
So, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Like, so all of this stuff that's going on right now, and like I said, you're just trying to make black people the criminal and you're the victim. Stop it. Just stop it. Because you know
no,
what?
But they've been doing it for the longest.
Oh, yeah.
They feel threatened by us. You know what's messed up? The way they feel threatened by us, because guess what? We're the inventors. We're the creators. We're the ones who have the brains. Let's go back thousands and thousands of years. Who are the ones who made mathematics? We did. We made science. We are creators of origin. And you know what's sad? What's crazy about it is that they feel threatened by us. Like, everything a black person touches turns into gold.
And then they take it away.
And then you know what's sad about it? They take it away from us. And they get the credit.
Oh, all the time. And they're still doing it. You make something,
and you know what?
They got to do it. Once you get it, just like, I mean, you know, not to bring this up, but just like with this, I'll say with Black Lives Matter. With Black
mm-hmm.
Lives Matter, they all of a sudden it became all lives, white lives, blue lives, green. It took on a whole other thing. And then once again, then it takes away from what we were trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, that I saw that video. Peter King?
Yeah.
Loser.
Oh, big time.
For him to get up
big
there
time.
And say and talk all of that junk, listen, man, you've been in too long. Thank you for exposing yourself. Now it's time to get your dumb ass out. Now it's
oh,
time
please,
to get
that
your
one,
dumb ass
that
out.
One, that one was
time
the, that
dumb
one
ass
the
out.
Worst. You know when I lost it? Yeah, go ahead.
One thing I got to give it to Donald Trump, listen, he turned the light on. People took their hoods off and they're coming out the holes. You got to give Donald Trump the props on that.
But
he said he was going to drain the swamp, and he turned the light on, and everybody's like.
But Brother B, Big Red, the hoods already came off a long time ago. He just fanned the flames. Like I said on the Absolute Truth Show about that stick of dynamite, when you light up that stick of dynamite, it's bound to explode. And what he did was just lit. He's fanning the flames, because you know what? The fire is already burning. He's just fanning the flames of it. He's just fanning the flames. I mean, let's look at Kentucky with the shooting that happened there. Let's look at what happened in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, walking into a synagogue with a man who had a hatred for Jews, a real hatred for Jews. And he just stopped
horrible.
The place.
K-Dog, K-Dog,
yeah.
Explain to me, K-Dog, what is it, what is this, a trend? Going in a holy place. See, this is the thing I don't understand. You want to sit there and talk about how white black people are violent. You want to talk about the Negroes. You got white men running up in synagogues, churches, killing people.
But hold up, the shooter in Kentucky, you know what he was planning to do, right? You know he went to a black church, and he tried to open the doors. But guess what? Service was already done, and they already left. That church has a congregation. They say on a day like that day of the shooting, there was about 70 people inside that church. Now imagine, and thank goodness that nobody was in the church, that the church doors were locked, because he would have walked in and murdered a whole lot of people. 70 people are inside that church. So here's the thing that's going on now. It's, you know, the like you said, the hoods are coming off. Yes, but Brother B, the hoods have been off already. They've been off a long time ago.
They've been off for a long time. You're right about that.
They took that, they took off the hoods. They're wearing suits and ties now. There's no more flannel shirts.
You know what kills me about the only thing that made me, like, you know, about with the synagogue? You know what was so crazy? A lot of those people that got killed, those people were up in the 90s.
Yeah. These are people who survived the Holocaust.
They survived Hitler.
And it's like, to survive Hitler, and now you got to go through years later.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, you up there in age, you got grandchildren, great grandchildren, you got married, you know, escape this other crazy monster, and now you go get by another monster because of another monster.
Because why? Because you know
hey,
what?
You
in
know
the
what's
name
crazy?
Of in the name of racial hatred, this is
but
what's
wait
going
a minute.
On, man. This is the reality of it.
Now, and I would, and I'm, a, I hate to say this, but I gotta say it. You would think that, you know, stereotypically, it would have been a Muslim that would have done something like that.
Right.
No. Yeah. That,
no. No.
Bingo.
No. No,
nah,
no,
this is
no,
the
no.
key, man.
Nope.
This is it. Because
nope.
remember what he said. Oh, we don't. Oh, you know what? We don't want these people coming in here because they're terrorists. I'm like, really? Terrorists? Wow.
Well, who's the real?
And
who,
you're not mentioning,
who's teaching the terrorists? Who's teaching terrorists?
Exactly.
Terrorism 101.
But yet, you know what's going on now? There's been since he's been in office, you know, there's been some violent attacks against, there's been an anti-Muslim movement going on in parts
of
the country.
Of course. Of course, man. Of course, and he's not saying anything about it. That's why I said, dear white folks, let's be clear. No one is really giving a damn about certain things that you're doing unless it affects us directly.
Right. And now I'm going to, you know, I'm so glad we're talking because guess what? I wanted to read something from the Southern Poverty Law Center. It's a very, the grassroots campaign. It's a grassroots civil rights movement. This is, the thing that I'm not going to read all of it, but however, as it says, it's written by a writer, by, she's the Intelligence Project Director for the Southern Poverty Law Center. Her name is Heidi Bayrich. She writes, this is what she wrote. As our nation grapples with yet another mass shooting, we must look closely at why this hate-fueled violence is contaminating our society. The social media posting of the alleged shooter provides a chilling but unfortunately expected answer. They show adherence to the anti-Semitic conspiracy theory that Jews are trying to destroy the white race through immigration, which they believe is white genocide. Do you hear what he said? Do you hear what's going on? And she goes on to describe the shooter, and he said he wanted all Jews to die and that they were committing genocide to his people. These conspiracy theories are perpetrated and elevated by the increasing amount of hateful rhetoric flying from the mouths or keyboards of a growing cast of characters up to and including Donald Trump.
But you know what? I just like how, I mean, it sounds good, but yo, call a spade a spade. It's these white males. Stop dancing around it. These white dudes, they feel threatened. These white dudes feel like some, you know, these white folk, they just feel like, yo, we're going to be extinct. First of all, nobody's trying to extinct you but yourself.
Exactly. And, oh, and there's more
but
to
I think
it.
They use
Let me just say this.
As,
what I said
as
before.
Some type of way to instill fear. Like, okay,
yeah,
November.
Here's another fear that I wanted to point out before you go on, Brother B. Sorry. But in 2015, it was, quote-unquote, fear of blacks that led to the murder of 9 African-Americans in Charleston's Mother Emanuel Church. And in 2012, it was fear of Muslims that spurred the killing of 6 at a temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. See that, brother? Proceed, brother. Proceed, man. Do we see the pattern here, man?
Right, hello? Hello? Is he here?
Uh-oh. Brother B. Uh-oh. Hey, where'd Brother B at? Man, he done got cut off, man. Come on now. Brother B, come back on the air, man.
Come back, Brother B. Hold on, let me see where he at. You can hear me, Kato?
Yeah, I can hear you, Kato. I can hear you,
oh, you
Big Red.
But I don't know. Let me ask him what happened. Hold on.
Uh-oh. We have a minor
technology.
They shut me down, son. They shut me down. Shut me down.
I was like, let me see where he went.
Yeah, come on, brother.
All of a sudden, I've been sitting in the same spot for the past since the show started, and all of a sudden the call dropped. But anyway, November 6th is coming. You know, it's time to make some statements. And now all of a sudden, pipe bombs are popping up. You know, people being kind of, you know, voter suppression. People are being, you know, turned away from the polls, you know, things of that nature. Yeah, it's funny. It's interesting how these things are going down. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah,
and they're trying to use this fear.
But you know what's so funny? They know that fear is going to work. You know why? Because they know this younger generation is gonna, they're going to go for that. They know the older people, like the older school, you know, the old school. It's like, we've been through this before. Yeah, you can do what you want, man. I'm going to vote, exercise my right. But they know that these younger generation, or these, you know, 30-something-year-olds, you know, the young, you know, the 20-something-year-olds, they know that they're gonna be like, oh, I'm not going. Oh, what if, you know, this happened and what that happened? It's like, word? Okay.
Well, I'm just gonna say this.
Don't be the
one to complain.
Things don't go right.
Exactly. Don't complain, because you know what? If you're gonna stay at home on election day, shame on you. And why I say shame on you? Because the same people, and I'm glad you brought that up, Big Red, the same people who refuse to go to the polls are the same people who will stage a march the day after election day talking about, oh, this ain't working for us, and they're the same person working for us. All I got to say to these people is sit down and shut up, because the time that you could have stood there and make your voice be heard, you decided to stay at home, chill out, sit out the election, and then after, when the wrong candidate goes in there, oh, my goodness, this is wrong. Shut up. That's what I say to them.
I agree.
Exactly.
I agree.
A lot of the young people are going to be on that because, like I said, they're not going to go out and vote. Or they're going to buy
that. Why would they go out
and
vote?
I'm sure a lot of them don't even know who's running anyway.
Yeah, but also,
why would
they go out and vote if it looks like the election is being rigged? You know what I'm saying? Why go out and vote? Like, what's the purpose? If it seems like your vote doesn't matter, why waste your time?
But, you know, that's what they want you to think. And you know what's sad about it? Some people think that way, and that's why they don't vote. And you know what it is that, Brother B, Big Red, there are some black people out there, unfortunately, who are spewing that, who are fanning the flames that say, yo, don't vote. I'm gonna tell you something about someone I know.
And some of these parents of young, you know, young people. Oh no, you ain't got
no.
This, that, I don't
know. Listen, I'm about to read something from someone who shall remain anonymous. I was like, you know, this person who stands there and oh, by the way, he's a big time Obama hater because he feels that Obama did nothing for black people. My goodness.
What I love to know? The people who say Obama didn't do anything for black folk, I wonder what they're doing. What are you doing for black people?
That's
besides
what I'm saying.
Your mouth. Besides making us
that's
look
what
bad,
I'm
what
saying.
Are you doing? But go ahead, K-Dog. Go ahead.
He practically said, oh, if you go to the polls, What was it that he said? He said like this, that here's what, and I'm gonna read his blog, because I have to, and you know what, like I said, this person shall remain nameless. Should we avoid just voting for a candidate that resembles our race, color, and political party behavior? It's not guaranteed that these candidates will share our same agenda, looking for people to do things for us. Now, we all remember the 2008 election year and how much people drove all over to vote, and gentrification, unarmed killings, and petty arrests were still happening with that president. Now, never listen to these rich, high-maintenance celebrities telling us that not voting is a disgrace. You're on a grown adult with your own personal views, and waiting 4 years to vote is not enough. If you're a big fan of either candidate, you should just go to the voting booth and add your own name. Now, what do you say about that? With all this racism that's going on, we need to, we as a people, I'm speaking to my black brothers and sisters out there, wake up, because it's real. You look at,
you know what, you know why it's hard for them to wake up? Because the thing is, some of them, listen, they don't want to be woke. It's too much work. It's too much work to be woke. Listen, once again, you know why a lot of black people out there probably not woke? Because, once again, dear white folk, let's be clear. Black people ain't focused on you, because they're too busy focused on their own struggle. They ain't thinking about you. That's why some of them are not going out there voting, because they don't care, because they're too busy concerned about paying their rent, their mortgage, or getting their life together, or doing what they got to do for their kids or for themselves. They ain't focused on this politic crap. Because
right, but
it's crap, so a lot of people are just crap.
But if
you gotta be that change.
If you want something to change,
you
gotta be a voice in that change if you want to make.
But you know what? Some people,
I'm not gonna do this and I'm not gonna do that. Like I told my kids all the time, like you keep saying that you want something to change, but you can't. It's not gonna change if you're not caring.
Exactly. If you're not changing it, if you're not willing to change what's going on, because you know what, you have to have that voice. You have to speak on that change. Because sitting around and doing absolutely nothing, that doesn't help. And you know what? It gives them an upper hand.
I mean, change. That's the whole thing. Some people are just, like I said, they're too focused on what they got going on to even think about change or doing this. They're like, listen, I got to change my life. I can't be worried about what's going on. I got to change myself. I got to change my socks, my drawers. Listen, you guys make the changes for me and call me when it's done.
They were looking for that when Obama was in office. But they was looking
that
for
was
the same
thing. Remember,
Obama
Brother B,
old.
We talked about
things
that.
Things are going to change. Things are going to change.
As a matter of fact, Big Red, Brother B and I spoke about this off the air, and we both started to laugh when he said, "Are you serious? What did you want Obama to do for you? Go into the neighborhood and give free Newport?"
Yeah, like what change? My thing is, what change were people looking for? Listen, everybody has their own idea of change, their own idea of different things. Of what they would like to see. And we don't all see through the same glasses or the same lenses. So what may be changed for one person may not be changed for another. So with that being said, stop being a lazy ass and go out there and create your own change, a change that suits you. Stop looking for somebody to change the narrative for you or change the situation for you. Change it yourself. Like, listen, I'm not knocking the hustle of these politicians, but once again, it's a hustle. They're promising you this. They're promising you that. What can they really do that someone else is going to allow them to do? It can only go but so far. So if you don't take care of yourself, don't expect somebody else to always do it for you. Stop being lazy. Get off your ass and make moves on your own. Do what you have to do. Because you know what? Whether you vote or not, you still have to make it happen for you.
Exactly.
We can vote the right person in, but we still, the work doesn't stop.
It's up to us to do
the
work.
And that's the thing. When Obama got in office, what did we do? A lot of people sat back. We didn't help them. We didn't push them forward. What did we do?
No, we didn't.
We just got lazy and sat back and just said, what's he going to do now? What are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do for next week? You know what I'm saying?
Meanwhile,
we didn't help him. We didn't help him.
He was looking for reparations.
Yeah, reparations and
they was looking for reparations.
Yeah, that's what people. I've heard that from
I want my check. I want my check. I want my reparation check.
I want my reparation check.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
That's no way for my damn check. Everything.
Listen, Dave Chappelle made a comedy skit about the checks, and they showed what would happen if we would have gotten our reparations check. It would be gone in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
There's something.
Stop looking for something and make it happen yourself. Stop it.
But no, but some
stop
people
being,
would
stop
think
being
that,
black.
Oh, but he was sitting there protecting the gays. He was protecting the Jews. I'm like, listen, what did you want him to do for you?
I'm sorry,
but black people ain't out there protecting themselves. There's a lot of black folk out there that's not protecting themselves or not doing, you know what I'm saying, the right thing by themselves or for themselves. So don't sit there and look for this hero. You want to look at a hero? Go look in the mirror.
Yes.
Go look
make
in the mirror.
Make yourself a hero.
Yeah, step up. Make that change. Listen, like Michael Jackson said,
I'm asking him to
what?
Change his ways.
Right. We need more songs like that. We don't have nobody to sing that. We don't
and
have
you know
nobody
what's
to
sad
do
about
it.
And you know what's sad about it? It's like this, like you said, dear white folks, look at what's going on now in America. Do you not think that, hey, you know what? They're trying to scare us from voting, but you know what? We're not gonna back down from it. Because think about it. When I look at John Lewis, Representative John Lewis from Georgia, look at that man. That man was in the forefront of the movement. He was in the front lines of the movement. The man still carries scars on his head from being beaten up from a state trooper or being attacked as a young freedom rider by an angry mob. Look at that man. As a young man, now had he backed down and not taken those scars, what do you think would happen today?
Exactly. Listen, it just would, you know what I'm saying? We don't know how much of an impact he had, but it just probably would have been just that much less of an impact if he didn't.
Exactly. Because as a young man, he took a lot.
Like I said, I have to say it again. Dear white folk, let's be clear. We ain't thinking about you. So if you think somebody's trying to replace you, do you think somebody... Nobody ain't trying to replace you.
And the fear is...
You're doing that to yourselves. Nobody's
because
trying to
now,
replace
like
you.
I said, Donald Trump was what they wanted, and Donald Trump is what they have, who is fanning the flames of all this nonsense. People, they're walking into places now, and you know, they're being bold with it. Yeah, and this is the thing. Make America great again. You're trying to make America white again. Wanting to take it back into
the
50s.
When did it ever stop? Listen. When people want to talk about make America great again, whose fault was it? Who changed it? The white folk.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make it great again. Okay, you're the ones who screwed it up. So what's the problem?
They don't want to take... Do you think they want to take accountability for that?
Oh, no, of course not. Of course not.
All right, so they figure... Guess what? If I don't want to take responsibility for, excuse my language,
fucking up the country. You know what? Let me blame everybody else. I'm going to blame the black man. I'm going to blame the Muslim. I'm going to blame everybody else except for me. Why should I be the one to take accountability and say, you know what, I effed up? No. Why should I do that? Nope. Let's blame everybody else.
I can't disagree with you there. I agree. On top of doing that,
so now you know what's been happening. Let's blame everybody else for something. Oh, they tried to do that. You know what? It was one of the Muslims. They did it. They did this. Oh, the Mexicans did it. So now we could build this wall. So you know what? Can't let them over here. They can't do nothing if they can't get over here. So can't do nothing if they can't get over here.
Yeah.
Watch it out.
Oh my goodness! I mean, you're right about that.
I mean, that's once again what it always boils down to, accountability. And you got a lot of people out there that are not willing to take accountability for their actions, what they do and how they do it. And once again, welcome to America. This is America. You know what it is?
Like I said, Donald Trump is fanning the flames, and you know what? He's fanning the flames. He practically stood there and said like this: if the Republicans don't win this midterm election, there's going to be violence. I'm like, wow. So you're already inciting that. You're already fanning the flames for it. You're waiting for it to happen. You want it to happen. Like, yes.
No, that was the call. And you know what happened? Somebody went out and said, oh, yeah, that was the signal. That was the signal. Let's make it happen.
Jackass signal.
I pray no more incidents. I pray no one else gets hurt because this is not what life should be about.
You don't have to. You shouldn't be scared of making a stand. You shouldn't be scared of speaking out.
You shouldn't just be afraid to be in your own skin and live.
Exactly.
You shouldn't be. No one should be afraid of that. You should just be able to be happy and live. But there are people out there who just have a problem with you living, with you breathing, just existing, because they just don't want you here for whatever idiotic, insecure, asinine reasoning that they try to put out there.
Yeah.
I just have to sit back and laugh at those who really seem to think that it's okay to spread the hate.
Yeah.
You know what? It's all right. It's cool.
You know, that's how it is now. Negativity. Negative things are more, I guess they get more attention. I guess people get more attention.
Negativity. Negative is the new positive.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Negative is a new positive.
So it's like negative. So, like, if you think about it, like, even like, you know, like with social media, if you put something negative up there, you're getting all these likes, you know, people commenting. If you put something positive, you get like one or two likes. Maybe somebody with some sense of, oh, yeah, you know, that's nice or whatever. But put something negative up there, oh, boy.
Hmm.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's the best. That's ratchet. We love it. Yeah. Just like this little black girl running around talking about she's white. Okay, yeah, you can listen. You can say it all you want to. You go try and play that old. Yeah, but still, I just find it funny. I mean, like I said, I haven't really, you know, my whole news watching thing and everything else, I don't get involved in too much. But I mean, it's funny. It's funny. That little girl is confused, but it's okay. She'll have her moment. Everybody has their reality check moment. Everybody.
Mm. Everybody.
But you know, before we, you know, conclude this episode, I would just like to say to those, you know, white folk who wanted to take it the wrong way and become offended. Good. Be offended. Stay offended. and look at yourself and ask yourself why you're offended. Because I said something, because I'm utilizing my freedom of speech, because I actually give a damn enough to point out the fact that you're being stupid and you're the type of people that we just really don't need in this type of America that the real Americans want to build. But before we go out, here you go. Got to give it. 3054, boom, boom, hot rod. Take it away, Jack.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hello.
Hey, listen, I just want to make this clear and get it out the way. This is a topic about white people getting out. For the record, the hot rod had never, ever had sex with a white woman before. Let's let everybody know that right now.
Oh, man.
I made out with a white woman in the bar many times. I've never had sex with a white woman before. I don't know what it's about.
Hot Rod. I'm making out with a poster of Kim Kardashian wouldn't count, would it?
No, please. That's nothing. I make out with so many posters, please. But I'm just saying, I never had sex with a white woman before, so, you know.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about tonight, right? About white people, white girls? No?
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
Wrong show. My bad.
He said wrong show. My bad.
No, but I'll be serious for a second. I will never forget a quick story that one time it was K-Daw, Sean, and I. We took my son out to the playground. It was like a little Russian area. It was a whole bunch of kids, white kids, Indian kids, all type. And I'm looking at the kids. I'm like, look at these kids, how they're playing with one another, different races, different times, not hating one another.
Right.
You know,
I remember.
Doesn't join us of kids being kids for some of them later to end up hating one another for no apparent reason that hate has been taught. You know. And I just find that funny overall. How hate between white, blacks, all type of people are being taught to us. And been carried out from generation to generation. That's what I want to say.
Yeah. No, nobody.
Well, you know what?
You're right. Nobody's born a racist.
Bigotry is taught.
Yeah.
Bigotry is taught. And there's certain people that really teach it, and I don't think it's minorities. Minorities don't teach the bigotry. They try to protect their kids from it.
True, but they learn from other kids in classes too, in schools.
Because the kids learn it from home.
Yeah. You know, you have the Muslim hating the Jews hating the Muslims, Haitians can't stand Jamaicans, Jamaicans can't stand the Haitians. Like, it go on and on and on, you know. Big Red can't stand the hot rods, like, it never stops, you know.
Listen, all I can say is, you know what? Hate begets hate. That's just it. This is obviously love. Is as much as people want to talk about God this and God that, is most high, God is love. So, you know, with that being said, go out there and love one another. You know what I'm saying? Stop being on the hater stuff. Please go out there and vote. Rock that vote. Make your voice heard. Make that change. Do something. Don't just talk about it. Be about it. You know. And Hot Rod, what's going on?
Yeah,
hurry up real quick. What's going on for tomorrow night? What's going on tomorrow night?
We're doing it on Wednesday night after the midterm elections to talk about the lessons, the outcome of that. Did it really make a change or not? We shall see.
Gotcha. Well, on
that's
that
right.
Note, Big Red, King Dog, Hot Rod, thank you. Thank you for calling in. Another
Peace.
Episode of the Menu, Blog Talk Radio, and the Can. Everybody have a good night. Stay blessed, be safe. And once again, rock that vote. Let them know.
That's right.
Let them know you ain't, a cold. Let them know you ain't a cold sauce.
Later.
All right. Peace.
Later, y'all.
Later.
All right, later, y'all.
Later.